Good morning. Stopping by this morning is former Senator Jim DeMint to talk education reform. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Chair. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. All right. So we've been hearing all this buzz coming from the state legislature about school reform, school choice reform, all that kind of stuff. What do we need to know about that?
Well, it's exciting to see something going on in Columbia. South Carolina spends more than 25 other states, and we're still at the bottom. So we spend a whole lot of money on our students. But this year, we've got some bold state legislators in the House and the Senate, you know, pushing education reform and particularly education scholarship accounts, Tara. What this does is it gives parents the ability to shop for whatever education services their children want. We take public school money, let it follow the student. And what we've seen in other states, not only does it help the students who use it, it helps public schools because we create more competition. So they've already passed in the House in Columbia a bill that does some education reform that catches up on teacher pay, reduces their paperwork. There's some important things in that bill. But that's going to be followed by a debate about this education scholarship account, and that'll help more students than you can imagine.
Now, who would get the scholarships? Would it be anybody, kids who are poor, or?
Well, what we've seen in other states, and it's likely going to be that way here, is it starts smaller. It starts with children with particular disabilities. It begins in kindergarten and then works first grade, second grade. So over time, you've got more and more students who can choose their own education environment. I'm not exactly sure how South Carolina will come out, but you don't start with every student. You kind of wade into it in most cases. But what we've seen, Arizona's been doing it longer than any other state, is you've got they started small. Now it's universal in the sense that students all over the state can choose this option. And if you don't spend all the money you get, and like a student, Tara, might get $10,000 to $12,000 a year, and they can go to a public school, a private school, a Christian school. They can hire tutors for their students. They can go for a school with special abilities or disabilities. And whatever's not spent in a given year rolls over. It accumulates. And their children going to college in Arizona on these education scholarship funds that haven't been spent. And it makes the market work in education. Parents become very astute shoppers. And you also have a lot of new education services that rush into, it doesn't have to be Greenville, it can be Allendale or Edgefield, where you have today with a lot of online virtual services that that people can buy whatever education services they need. And it just creates so many more options for parents over time. And what we're trying to do today is just get the public to go to palmettopromise.org and choose, get involved, and you'll see education scholarship accounts, and they can sign a petition that'll go to their legislators and let them know that we're behind this idea of changing our education system in South Carolina, that we're tired of being at the bottom, and this is an opportunity for South Carolina to begin to do what other states like Florida have done for so many years.
We're talking to Senator Jim DeMint about education reform. Okay, so $12,000 per child, that sounds like a lot of money. Is that how much money the state pays now per child, or where would the money come from?
It's actually more than that. I'm not sure the exact number. In South Carolina, it's probably $14,000 or $15,000 per
state
student.
State funds. So that's, wait, hold on, that's not local property tax money. That's what the state puts in?
Well, I think it's combined state property tax, federal money. But what happens is we've seen over time that less of that money goes to the classroom. More and more goes into administration. Teacher pay has been flat, so it's been hard to recruit and keep good teachers in our system. That's one of the things the speaker's bill that just went through the House in Columbia will help fix. But what will help fix it over time is just to create an education system that is dynamic, it's innovative, it's competitive, and it gives parents lots of choices. So we already got enough money in the system. We're not talking about spending more money. We're just talking about it following the student rather than cramming it through whatever school is closest to the place where you live.
So eventually the goal would be what? To have all children have school choice?
Exactly. And, I mean, that's where you can go, and you can go relatively quickly as people evolve into that. And that, and it just likely means that the public school down the street is going to get better and parents can continue to choose it. But there'll also be a school in your neighborhood, a school in your church. There'll be things you can take online. And why not bring education into the 21st century with all the technology and capabilities we have? It just doesn't make sense to make a child go to a school that's just closest to where you live, because every child is different. And we need to make sure that there are plenty of different environments for kids to be successful.
One of the downsides, or things I've always been afraid of with this, though, Senator Mint, is that if we begin doing this and kids take their funds and use them at, say, like a private school, that all of the chains and the shackles that are put on kids, on teachers at public schools that have teachers, you know, 10% of teachers quit every year in South Carolina. They just give up because it's so hopeless. They can't discipline kids. They can't take control of their classrooms was the main reason that was listed at the state news by the state newspaper. That unfortunately, if the public education money is going to these private schools, will it come with all these rules attached that will then ruin the private schools as well?
Absolutely not. The education scholarship counts don't work that way at all. There is no rules that come with it. The school does not have to follow any state procedures. The parents chooses a school, and we've seen other states go through this. I mean, there's a certain accreditation process that happens in some states, other states it doesn't, but there are no rules. And what it does for teachers, it frees them up. Again, they can become professionals in a sense that they're not a bureaucrat in a government school. They can be tutors. They can go to different classroom settings, and we just see a lot of different formations of school type or education environments created when the parents have the money to shop with. You have more of a shopping mall type thing that develops. And what we've seen, and Florida started this 20 years ago. They have more school choice than any other state in the nation. And when they started this, they were behind South Carolina. Now their public schools are way ahead of South Carolina. Their public schools have gotten much better, and they've offered a lot more choices for their students. And so it's a win-win. And those who say that public schools will suffer just don't look at the research, because all the research shows that public schools get better when there are more choices.
Jim DeMint, what are the odds, you think, of this passing our legislature?
Well, the reason I'm on the phone today is the odds are very good. For the first time in a long time, we've got about half of the folks in the state house who are supporting education scholarship accounts. There's a lot of leadership. Majority Leader Shane Massey is leading the way on this, as well as the education chairman, Greg Hembree. And the governor is behind this. And so what happens, though, is the National Teachers Unions pounce on anyone who tries to change the system. And I know it from being in Congress, and they certainly know it in Columbia. So what we're trying to do today is just get people to go to palmettopromise.org, go get involved, sign the petition under education scholarship accounts, and let the folks know in Columbia that the public wants these changes, despite what they hear from the swamp there in Columbia, because I can guarantee you the administrators and the public school administrators, the National Teachers Unions, everybody's going to be threatening them, and we got to let them know we have their back.
Amen to that. Now, I'd love to know what happens, who would get these initially? You said it would go to kids with, I guess, learning disabilities or other disabilities. How many are we talking in the beginning, and is there any plan in the legislation to expand it as we go?
I think that's the way it starts. The way it starts out is rising kindergartners, and so it'll start covering folks in the earlier grades, kids with special needs or the low income, military is included, foster care students. And what happens, and I've seen it, is you start small schools, is you might have, you start with a kindergarten and a first and second grade, then it goes to third and fourth. And as these kids move up, you know, in within 10 years, you'll see it cover all through high school. And it just has to grow that way because you can't take a system and totally change it overnight.
Well, it sounds like a good start. Probably too late for my kids, unfortunately. But
well,
we would love to have that option.
I'm working for my grandkids right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a subject, Senator DeMint, that I talk about all the time when you know, look what my family did. I look at test scores, and we had a magnet into a school here in the local area, and there's a huge disparity when you look at test scores and quality of school just right here in Greenville, depending on where you live.
Yeah, it's not fair. It doesn't need to be that way. We could have a good school in every neighborhood.
Absolutely. All right, Senator DeMint, love the idea. Do folks, is this a good time for folks to call their legislators?
Yes, it is. And just tell them thank you. Thanks for standing with it. Go to palmettopromise.org. Sign a petition. That's going to get a lot of messages to them right away. They need to know we're behind them.
Amen to that. Senator Jim DeMint, thank you so much for stopping by this afternoon to talk education reform, or this morning to talk education reform. So, Lee, in my house, when Rambo Loco sees me heading to the trash can with the plastics and stuff, he goes, "Wait, no, stop!"
Yeah,
and he recycles them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really care about recycling, but he does. So we do. We do it religiously. Now, according to this article that you sent me from the Atlantic, is this the end of recycling? Apparently, the Chinese were buying a lot of our plastics and stuff. Paper, all that junk, plastic bottles, aluminum cans, newspapers, and they're not buying them anymore. And that means that you have to pay a lot more to actually have them recycled.
Yep.
One example in this article that you sent me, it was the town of Franklin in New Hampshire, that they made their recycling program go because they could sell it to the Chinese for $6 a ton, and that was break even for them. Now they would have to pay $125 a ton to recycle, and they just can't afford it.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, or $68 a ton to incinerate. Across the country, places are ending their recycling programs. And this is barely going to be a problem going forward.
If recycling worked to begin with, I mean, if you can reuse this stuff, and I'm all about, listen, I am a capitalist and a conservative. So obviously you want to conserve your capital. And one of the reasons I recycle is because I don't want to have to spend any more tax dollars to make more landfills than we have to. Because that's where it's going to have to go.
I totally agree with that.
But I wonder now where it's going to begin with.
Yeah, and I think you have to wonder where it's going to. It says it already at this point, about 25% of what ends up in the blue bins is contaminated and can't be recycled anyway.
Wow. So listen, whatever winds up at the landfill or the dump is going to be contaminated anyway. Good grief. I've always read that like aluminum is a great product to recycle because it takes a lot less energy to recycle, to melt down that aluminum and make new aluminum parts than it does to go through the whole process of, developing it to begin with, of refining it to begin with. If this is true, it looks like to me that what we have got here, let's say if the plastics and the paper and the metals can be recycled, why not just give them to industry? Because then you're allowing those things to be done locally, and that would be the prerequisite there, that if you are an American company and you are recycling American trash to make American products here in America, then why not just, have a collection point at your landfill or dump or whatever, and either give it or sell it, if you want to do that, to whoever's doing it, if they can make money at it.
Well, I'm no expert on this, but according to the article that you sent me, it sounds like the problem is paying the people to sort through it. Because in China, they have practically slave labor. So, even if we were sent into industry, they still need to pay people to sort it, which apparently is the big cost there, that they can still make things from scratch much more cheaply. It's too expensive to do here. And so there's not, I guess, interest in doing it.
Let the robots do it.
Yeah. And it may come to that eventually.
I mean, seriously, why not? I mean, that sounds like to me something that could very easily be automated. Well, not easily, but could certainly be automated.
It's if I'm looking at a milk bottle or whatever and I want to recycle it, I mean, awesome, good, but I don't worry about landfills that much, and I'll tell you why. I did a whole series on landfills one time, and I was pleasantly surprised to find, I think people in their minds think, oh my gosh, it's a pile of trash. But no, I mean, the way they were doing it in Charlotte, it was really cool. I mean, they bury it so deep down, they put so much land on top of it. That they then were planting trees and forest right. over it, and it's so deep the roots will never touch it.
Well, also you have the methane that can be produced by the as the things degrade. I mean, I think BMW uses methane to power a lot of the things that they have, heating and some of the other needs for you know, some type of gas to be burned. They do that at the plant in Greer,
which is great. I mean, so if you could recycle it, honestly, I'm all for it, but. You know, at the same time, I don't beat myself up trying to recycle stuff because I know how the whole landfill thing works, and it's not as horrible as people think. You know, think of, you know, miles and miles of trash. It doesn't work like that the way that we do it, you know, in modern society. It actually, in Charlotte, was creating acres and acres of forest where there was none before.
Right.
Which, or wasn't one, you know, for a long time. So it was actually cool in that way that, you know, what was happening, and I didn't really feel bad about it after that. But so it's not the end of the world. But yeah, just really interesting. If you know, it makes me kind of wonder what's going on around here.
Yeah, and a lot of the recycling programs have come to an end, and the counties and cities, municipalities, some of them are just simply not doing it anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, not the end of the world. If that, you know, if that happens, it's such a creative country. I'm sure we'll find something to do with it. We always do. Meanwhile. The age when you begin to feel old. Apparently, the age is 68.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, really. So, you know, you're not over the hill yet.
Okay.
And I'm not over the hill yet either. Yep. So apparently, and people don't feel 65 until they turn 68. But 68 is now the age in which folks feel old. I don't know. Some days I feel old now. Just having aches and pains where I didn't used to.
Yes, that's the biggest problem.
Even though I'm not that old.
I am very thankful that I can get around as well as I do. But,
I know.
You know.
People see, people starting to have, you know, health problems and stuff like that. Okay. Meantime, this is an interesting theory in American Thinker today, that perhaps the reason Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is such a dedicated socialist is because she failed so miserably at capitalism.
That's probably a good theory.
Yeah. Apparently, out of college at 22, she launched her first business and failed spectacularly. Failed so badly that she still has, from 2012, it was a children's book publishing company. She still owes the state $1,870 in corporate taxes. So she's a tax deadbeat.
So she must have made some money if she still owes taxes, because if you have a business that fails and you take a loss, don't you get to write off some of those losses?
No, you got me, but that's what the outstanding bill is. So, I mean, I guess when it comes to taxes, when she's talking about paying taxes, she meant like you, not
right.
her.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Because she's just fully familiar with how it goes in socialist countries. The job of the people is to work like slaves and provide the money, and the job of the leaders is to raid the treasury and run off to Palm Beach.
Right, exactly.
Duh. Yeah. So, apparently she's going to be on that plan, I guess. Texter writes, Trump proposes 20 service hours a week for welfare recipients. They can help save us from global warming by separating recyclables. Yeah. The Don would be a Democrat hero. Actually, I don't think he'll ever be a Democrat hero, no matter what he does.
All. No, yeah. Absolutely.
Boy, that trash is stinky, though, if you have to sort it. I think that would motivate them real quick to get off welfare.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. Texter writes, thanks, Tara. I just turned 68 years old today. Sorry, didn't mean to ruin it for you. Well, you know, it's all in how you feel.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Or how you self-identify.
How you self-identify. Like I, for instance, identify as a woman who's at least 5'6". I do. So I may appear short, but that is only an illusion.
Tara, beauty is not a size or a height.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
You've got nothing to worry about.
Well, thank you very much. You're so sweet. Did you see this? I love this. These two guys in Atlantic City pranked their dad. They put his phone number on a billboard with "Wish my dad happy birthday." Now he's getting hundreds of calls and texts today. It won't stop.
Well, that's good. I guess.
Hope nobody wrecked though.
Yeah.
Take the phone number down. It's coming up. All right. Hollywood crack up. Alyssa Milano is a lot of apologies this week. Alyssa Milano, who's nuts. She doesn't actually identify as nuts, but she is. Has declared herself, I don't know if you saw this earlier this week, a transgender, wait, hold on, let me get this right. A transgender person of color, immigrant, lesbian, gay man, and disabled. You know, like in solidarity. It started off with a string of tweets in which she said, "My transgender sisters, I am celebrating you this National Women's Day." Then she went all in, claiming to be, again, trans, a person of color, an immigrant, a lesbian, a gay man, and disabled. Well, all those grievance groups piled on her, and she had to apologize for claiming to be those things. She wasn't actually claiming to be those things. She was just trying to, you know, in solidarity. Leftists have absolutely no sense of humor, and so that did not fly. Then Deborah Messing, also in trouble. She apparently excluded trans women who don't have a vagina while celebrating International Women's Day. So what she did, this is the problem. Oh my gosh, oh my lord. Happy Women's Day, International Women's Day, she tweeted, powerful, beautiful, and sweet, along with a photo of vagina-themed cupcakes, which were, of course, decorated with different colors, piercings, and even, oh my, hair? Oh, Lord, I'm looking at this. How could you eat one of these? Oh, my God. All right, so anyway, I'm moving on. I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head. Okay, so anyway, so the problem was she tweeted the vagina cupcakes for Women's Day, but apparently the vagina is now, it's offensive because it would exclude women who don't have one on International Women's Day. So she had to apologize because her tweet suggested that people who don't have the proper female equipment are not women. And that, of course, is offensive. So she's in trouble, too. So it's not just us who can't say anything anymore. Ralph writes, oh my, is this sanitary? I have been using the same water bottle for 2 years. I never buy water in a plastic bottle. I use the same water container. Oh, it's a container. Okay. Now, for the past 2 years, just refill it. Anyone can do it. It is like a Yeti stainless steel one, but mine cost only $7. The Yeti cost $45. See below. Yeah, I've got one right here, a stainless steel one, actually, I'm drinking out of right now. It stays cold for days, he says, if you have ice in it. No joke, days. I bought mine at Menards. He sent me a picture. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate that. Yeah, I know. Mine stayed cold, too, for days. It's really cool. Yeah, no, but that's good. I mean, you know, that's one of those simple ways that you can't, seriously, that's one of those simple ways that you can just, you know, save the stuff from ending up in the landfill, and it works great. You don't want to get anything plastic, though. Yeah, his isn't plastic. This is stainless steel. I'm looking at it. Because you don't want that the plastic stuff leaching in there, and then the more you wash it, and it's hot, and it leaches. No, don't do that. So you want to get something stainless steel. If at all possible, when you do it. All right, want to wrap the show up with this, a warning from Juan Guaido. Guaido? He is the Venezuelan opposition leader, or at least he is for now. As of yet, Maduro has not managed to kill him with one of his death squads, but hey, all bets are off. I don't know how that guy walks around that country and hasn't been assassinated. I think the only thing keeping him alive is they fear some sort of American invasion or retaliation if they kill him. Like, I don't mean like full-on war. I mean like maybe a special forces type deal. I don't know. Anyway, he's the Venezuelan opposition leader. He was on Fox News with a warning for people not to follow the path of the young Democrat socialists who are so popular right now in America. Here it is.
I invite everyone to see what's going on in Venezuela, the amount of displaced persons in our country, and the drama that it's become, the day-to-day living of seeking out food, water, or simply having power.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if you don't care about, like, food, water, having power, you already live in a camp, then you'll be fine. Texter writes, "Dear, I could totally see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or the crazy ex-girlfriend, as we call her, saying, duh. Yeah, me too. That's why I said it. Texter writes, a friend sent me a link. Okay, wait. Texter writes, Tira, Alyssa Milano is nothing but a brain-dead liberal. I can't say that word on the air. Yes, I agree. Texter writes, hair. That is so 70s. Apparently not. Not on cupcakes. Made to look like women's genitalia. Texter writes, Tira, last week you liked where my idea was heading about all the taxpayers taking a year off. Where can we head with this idea that might get change? I sure am tired of paying taxes to support liberal policies. Yeah, me too. I don't know. Somebody's got to go first. So, you know what? I think you need to start a campaign. You get one going, get it looking nice and professional. I'll promote it here. Why not? And then I'll wait and see if everybody else goes first. Texture rates called me old-fashioned, but I would say that female genitals are a prerequisite for womanhood. Yeah, that is really old-fashioned, actually. That's very yesterday. Texture rates, when do you feel old? It's a mental thing. When I was 65, I thought I was old. Now I'm 78. I found I was wrong. Guess what? I'm going to wait till I am 88 before I consider myself old. Maybe. Yeah. Or you could just identify as young. It's just a thought. Oh, Lord. Then the texter writes, pass the cupcakes. And finally this text. Tara, is Ruth Ginsburg dead? I need proof of life. I'd like to see. Yeah, I would. Now, I don't know, some media outlet just reported they'd been at a thing that she was at, but oddly, no one took a picture. I thought that was a little weird. All right. Oh, I got to let you know about this, too. Today, you can go to IHOP, when you go to IHOP, and get a short stack of pancakes. This is how this works. And you pay what you want, make a donation, make it a generous one, and your donation goes to help support Prisma Health Children's Hospital in the upstate. So a great day if you were having a craving for pancakes to go get some from IHOP and make a difference in a child's life.